Well, hey, folks, this is Chris Brown, and I cannot encourage you enough to make a plan for your money and learn what the Bible has to say about money when you order Financial Peace University with a copy of the Legacy Journey ebook by Dave Ramsey. Get this incredible deal for only $99 when you use the promo code Chris Brown with no spaces. Check it all out at stewardship.com.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, welcome, folks, to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. I am your host, Chris Brown. We are here. We're in the beginning of Easter week. It's hard to believe, right? We were just talking about New Year's and talking about Valentine's, and now Easter is already here. Pretty cool stuff. Again, you're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. This is your show. Please call in 866-357-3283. Again, at 866-357-3283. For those of you who are listening in for the first time, I want to especially welcome you to the show. What would you be calling in about? You'd be calling in about life and about money. This is the show where we talk about stewardship. We're not talking about recycling. We're not talking about taking care of the rainforest. All of that's great if it's done for God's glory. But we are talking about managing God's blessings this entire life that we've been trusted with. His way and for His glory. Not the world's way, but we're following the scriptures. 2,350 verses found in the Bible that tell us how to manage wealth and possessions, money and possessions. So that's what we talk about on the show. If you have any questions about that, what this looks like in your life, feel free to give us a call. And while you're calling in right now on stewardship.com, we're offering Financial Peace University and the Legacy Journey ebook from Dave Ramsey for only $99 when you use the code Chris Brown with no spaces. So I want to tell you to take advantage of that limited time deal at stewardship.com today. Again, the phone number is 866-357-3283. And of course, you can email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. And our first call today comes in from Noblesville, Indiana. This is Lauren. Lauren, how are you?
Better than I deserve, Chris. How are you?
Better every day. Great. How can I serve you?
Well, first I want to say thanks to you and your team. You're just such a blessing for me and really encouraging. My question for you is about 529 versus a mutual fund investment. So I'm in baby step two, and I'm planning to be out of debt in 2 years.
Okay.
But I have a two-year-old, and I'm trying to figure out if it would be wiser to do a 529 or a mutual fund investment for college planning and maybe even like a legacy fund to build something for my family?
Well, yeah, I was just trying to differentiate between the two and the advantages of both. The 529 is definitely a great option for you for college funding. If it's general advice about investing, of course, you can get into 401k and you can get into Roth IRAs and other traditional IRAs, but when just for college funding, that's the one that you want. You don't want to do mutual funds for college funding because three words: tax-free growth. It's a beautiful thing, and that's what comes along with a 529. Also comes along with an ESA as well, and so this is kind of the moment where the 529 kind of drops the mic. That is much better than a mutual fund when it comes to college savings. So just generally speaking, 521 plans offer unsurpassed income tax breaks. The contributions aren't deductible. Earnings grow federal tax-free and will not be taxed when the money's taken out for college. So that's a huge, huge advantage. So if that's what you're asking, you definitely want to take advantage of the 529 or the ESA.
My concern with the 529, and you can just tell me if I have bad information, but it looks like on average they're only growing 2% interest after fees, and Dave promises mutual funds around 12 with the, your coordinator's help and stuff. But I didn't know if the compound interest would be more beneficial to pass on to my children's children, doing a mutual fund investment as well, like doing a combination. So I'm still getting a tax break, or what your best perspective is. I know you guys have kids, so I figured you probably have a little bit more information than me.
Yeah, Lauren, your question makes a lot more sense now because you got bad information. I would be asking the same thing if it was 2 versus 12. And so that's a great question when you have that kind of information. But no, it's just, you know, you want to choose a good 529 plan, not just because you see 529, you can't go in blindly. You've got to ask what goes into this 529. There's lots of different kinds. And for those of you listening in, you're like, okay, I just need to go get a 529. Make sure you stay away from it. You don't want to go through you don't want any prepaid tuition, you know, kind of deals. It's got to be a 529. You look into it, and your ELP investment professional walks you through the history of that 529 and make sure that actually produces something. Now, you might be, getting 2% this year, just because this year is just such a bad year. But when you're thinking long term, most folks put in, let's just say you put in $2,000 a year from birth to 18. And so you're looking at $36,000. In a typical situation, that $36,000 would become about $100,000 to $120,000, which is pretty good return, and it's all tax free. So I would definitely do a 529 or an ESA above just basic mutual funds all day long.
Okay, great. Thanks, Chris.
All right. Thank you so much. Of course, you can email in as well. Justin emailed in, said, "Hey, Chris, thank you for the show. I listen to the podcast while I'm at work. Listening to your show has pushed me into greater accountability for my family. As a result, we've returned to tithing after a long stint of feeling like all our money was budgeted and denied God what is His. We've rearranged priorities and put God and His kingdom first again. The question now is, we have a child with spina bifida, and while her mobility has been an amazing level of grace, mercy, and blessings, we do receive supplemental security income from our state. Should we be tithing on this? I know it's a matter of the heart, but given the nature of the income, I'm not sure. Thank you, and please don't stop this method of ministry." There could be an argument of saying you've already paid taxes on this, and so you're benefiting from a service because of taxes. I could see that argument, but I think for me and my household, and I'm just telling you candidly what I would do, I would tithe off this. It goes in my mind, it's net increase. I would encourage us to pray about tithing about all of our net increase, all the things that come to our life. Maybe not this, but maybe it's a gift card that you received, or maybe it's a birthday gifts or unexpected discounts. Maybe not as far as you're going to buy, some celery and it's a buy one, get one free, or I don't want to go that far, but net increase. Remember, tithing is not about math and legalism, but about the heart and how thankful we are. So are we really giving glory to Him when He shows off and you are getting this funding and it's supplemental and it's a blessing? And it's our thank you note back to God when we tithe back. Say, "Hey, I recognize that this is coming from you." Romans 11:36 says, "For from Him and through Him and for Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever." And so I think that our tithing records and our giving should reflect that. Not out of legalism, but just thanking God for blessing us. So I would encourage you to pray about that. And for those of you who are maybe wrestling through, maybe this is just, it's a benefit of our taxes. That's between you and God. I can't tell you about that. But what I would do, and my recommendation, Justin, is to tithe off of it for sure. This next call comes in from Waco, Texas. This is Tyler. Tyler, how are you?
I'm doing well, Chris. How are you doing today?
I'm better every day. How can I help you?
Excellent. Well, thanks for taking my call. I had a question for you. My wife and I have been married about 3 years. We're expecting our first little one coming in June, which we are ecstatic about, and wanting to really be squared away with certain finances. And in regards to a loan that we are paying back to my parents, the special nature of the loan, however, is it was a student loan. But my parents, in a very much of a blessing to us and thankful for, they paid off the actual note to the lender, mm-hmm. and we've been paying back my parents interest free.
Sweet.
So, yeah, it's wonderful and a blessing. But my question is, just again, with any kind of debt, is it better to still get out from under this ASAP, or is it better to pay it off at a reasonable amount, per se, and use the other money in another vehicle of some sort to actually gain some interest and grow for us, rather than get out from under this kind of debt early?
Yeah. I see what you're saying from a math standpoint.
Right.
I just want you to look at this from a deeper standpoint than just math. You use the word reasonable, and I think of Proverbs 6:5. It says, free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, when it's talking about getting out of debt. And that is not getting out of interest. It's getting out of debt. It's getting out of owing anyone anything, regardless of interest rate. So remove that variable, and you owe somebody something, period. So the variables of your parents and the variable of no interest are fogging this up.
Right.
And so if you remove those and you say, you know what, we owe people stuff, period, then that kind of makes the decision a little bit easier. And so I would say you still want to get out as soon as possible. What's your current payback rate right now?
We're doing $500 a month, and we're just under $30,000. So, yeah, I mean, when you look at it, I mean, you're talking about still another almost 5 years.
Yeah, I here's the deal. I want you to get the ankle weights off of your ankles before you start running. And so
Right. What
I want you to do, here's what I'd recommend. Your income is about what?
We're at 135 together.
Okay.
135,000.
So here's what I'd recommend. You're at about 100 take home. I would do a budget. This is just as if this was me. I would do a budget for $70,000 a year take home, and I'd have this thing paid off in 12 months, and it's out of your life. And then you're going to just save up an emergency fund of 3 to 6 months of expenses. And then after that, you can start investing. And that little bit of 12-month delay, you're going to be able to invest at a much more productive rate without going backwards throughout the journey. You're going to be in a great position so that you can invest and keep investing and not have to stop and start and stop and start and pay off a debt and do. No, you're going to do it all in order. Get rid of the debt. Then you can actually start running the race. You can start running the race, but you've got to get yourself in a position first. So ignore the math for right now. And ignore the math and you will be successful. You're fine. You've got a great income. This is the only debt you have. Get rid of that out of your life, and you guys are going to be very successful. You'll be just fine. But that's what I would do. I'd set a budget for $70,000 take home.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate that, Chris, and I'll head home and talk to my wife about it this evening.
I don't know what that means cut-wise, but in this world, you should be able to function on $70,000.
So I got you. Okay, Chris. Right. I appreciate you taking your time to talk to me very much.
Awesome. Thanks for the call. All right, folks. Well, that was a great call with Tyler. And you can just tell, you know, a winner when you talk to one. He's going to make it happen. And you could tell he's going to go, you know what? You kind of challenged me. And you told me to man up. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to go leave my family. We're going to get this thing done in 9 months. And you can just tell. And he's going to do it. I'm pretty excited about that. Well, if you need a plan to get out of debt and save for the future, then Financial Peace University is the class for you. Financial Peace University has helped over 4 million people change their future by learning how to manage their money God's way, not the world's way. And right now, when you order Financial Peace University, you also get The Legacy Journey, The Legacy Journey ebook by Dave Ramsey. Now, this incredible limited time deal will get you started making a plan for your money and tell you exactly what the Bible says about building wealth and about giving. And right now, we have hundreds of classes starting all across the country. Just visit stewardship.com and use the promo code Chris Brown with no spaces and get this amazing deal for only $99. That's right, $99. Use the promo code Chris Brown with no spaces to get Financial Peace University and the Legacy Journey ebook for only $99. Find all the details out at stewardship.com.
We appreciate you joining us today for Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Remember, we want to hear your questions and your success stories. Every story, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com.
or call 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And now let's get back to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
All right, you are listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Of course, you can call in at 866-357-3283. This next call comes in from Longview, Texas. This is Diana. Diana, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm better every day. How can I serve you?
First off, I'm just absolutely honored to speak with you today, so thank you for that. But the reason I called is because my husband was recently laid off, and we've taken about $100,000 pay cut, and we're just taking. We want to know if we should refinance our house and get rid of the escrow payment and the PMI payment to reduce our monthly house payment. And I can refinance the house pretty easily, but we've cut all of our bills as much as possible. We've had three cars. We went down to two. We've gone to Financial Peace. Last year, thank the good Lord, we were able to pay off $40,000 in debt. So, but like I said, I can make it right now, but it's just very tight. And then also we got our health insurance that was dropped because my husband covered us, and I looked into it. It's like $1,000 a month for me to cover all of us.
So. Yeah. That's amazing that you had a $100,000 drop in your finances and you're still able to make it happen.
Thank the good Lord.
Yeah. That must mean that you guys were living on, 50 or 60% of your income.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say that, but we were paying a lot of money onto our debt. I mean, we started off with about $150,000 in debt, and through the sale of the car and plus paying off the $40,000 last year, it's about $90,000 that we've paid off this past year.
Yeah, well, good job. I meant lifestyle, not really what you're spending. Like, I know you're doing debt payout, but your lifestyle is $100,000 under what you make.
Right.
That's great. So what was your income then, and what is it now?
Our income then was $180,000. And currently it's $85,000.
Okay. And how did this layoff happen? Tell me a little bit about it.
Oil field. It wasn't a personal situation.
Okay.
My husband worked for the drilling department, and you know, when you're not drilling for oil, there's no reason for employment.
Okay.
And they laid off his whole team.
What are they telling him as far as opportunities? Is there any severance? How long is he thinking he's going to be unemployed?
It's a weird thing where if he takes a position right now making the same amount, then he relinquishes his right to the severance package before April 1st.
Okay.
In other words, it's a lump sum payout.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about your home. What's the value of it?
It's about $250,000.
And how much do you owe?
$190,000.
So you've already done all the other things that you can do, relief besides doing something with the home.
Right, exactly. I mean, we've cut cable and internet and phones. We haven't cut them all out, but, you know, reduced them greatly.
Good. Well, it sounds like you're doing all the right things. I don't like a refi on a house for the purpose to lower a payment. I do refis for lowering an interest rate. So if you have a high interest rate right now and you're going to stay in the house for a while and you want to get a lower interest rate, which then reduces your payments as a byproduct, I'm okay with it. But if it's just to reduce your payments, I usually don't like that. So what is your interest rate now?
Oh, it's very low, 3.75.
Okay.
It would be going up to about 4.5.
It doesn't sound like you have too much house for your income at all. So I would, you know, normally right here, I'd say you probably need to downsize your home, but it sounds like it's pretty reasonable for your income.
There's enough money at the end of every paycheck. I'm sitting here looking at my budget, but it's just, more than anything, I'm scared.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit more. I don't think financially right now, based on what you told me, you're kind of shaving everywhere and you're very cognizant of your budget. You have a great budgeting process, it sounds like. You've been through FPU. I don't see any kind of relief when it comes to your house. And let me just make sure one more time. You're completely out of debt, right?
No, we still have $68,000 to go.
Okay. And is any of that in cars?
Yes, but we just sold. I just took a personal loan to pay off the negative equity in one of the vehicles that we sold.
And let's talk about your cars for a minute. What are they, and how much is the value?
I drive a little Honda. It's valued at like $15,000. I owe $12,000 on it. My husband just downsized. He had a huge, big, burly truck, and we went down to like a standard Ford vehicle. And that one's, we just did that. As soon as he got laid off, we sold both the vehicles that we had to get him the Ford. And that one's like $37,000.
I know you're feeling weight. I know you're feeling pressure. But right there is some optional pressure that you're feeling that you don't need to feel. And both of those pieces of metal in your driveway. So you could do much cheaper than both of those. If you wanted to relieve pressure, that's what I would ask you to do. Everything else you're doing great. Somehow you have made a ton of great financial decisions. And then somehow you've only made a partially good decision financially when it comes to your cars. I don't know what it is, some kind of emotional tie to cars, or it's that important to you.
No,
but
well, if we had the big Dodge truck and we had a Nissan Armada, and total debt on those was like $100,000. So, I mean, we scrapped both of those and went to the $37,000. Now, could we have gotten a beater? Sure.
Yeah. You know. Well, here's what I'm seeing. I mean, sometimes if I ask my kids, hey, can you come downstairs? And they come halfway and talk to me on the landing. They did just enough to make it feel like they did what they were supposed to do, but they only partially obeyed. And partial obedience is still disobedience. So I'm not talking about like you're being disobedient, but it's the same concept. You did just enough to inoculate yourself to think that you made enough financial decision to relieve pressure there, but you really didn't do enough. And so if you're asking, going back to the original question, you're asking to relieve pressure, and I want this for you, I'm just telling you, there is some pressure release right there in your driveway. Whether you do it or not, it's up to you, but I'm trying to help you. And I try to analyze your whole situation. That's based on what you've told me, that's the only place I can see a whole lot of relief outside of him finding a job.
I think that's a great outlook.
Yeah. So I'm not, harping on you, but you've done so many great things, but and really for your income, that's not too much car, but for your situation, it's too much car. And of course, we never want car loans, period. So anyway, that gives you a little bit of relief. I want to pray for you before you get off here, because I know what you're going through is very real. I recognize that. And I'm really praying that that he finds some work, maybe even outside the oil industry for a season, which I know for those in the oil industry is kind of like a, really? You would go outside the oil industry? But yeah, if it relieves some pressure. Even 40 grand a year would really help. Maybe 30 or 40 grand a year doing something that he never thought that he would ever do.
It's definitely an option right now. Yeah. I mean, our brains are just on overdrive.
Yeah, I'm sure. Diana, let me pray for you, okay?
Thank you.
God, we come to you right now as a true stewardship community, and we're all lifting up Diana to you. We ask, God, that you give her strength. You've already given her so much wisdom and how to position her family in a great spot during this unique challenge. I pray, God, for her husband, that he still feels respected by his peers. He still feels respected by his family. He still knows that you love him with all your heart. I pray, God, for new opportunity. I pray, God, that you would bring those opportunities into their lives, and they would recognize them, and they would give you the glory for them. And God, I just pray for continued wisdom and discernment and discretion as they kind of navigate through the budget. And at the same time, they'd give you glory for what they do have and be thankful for the blessings that they do have. God, I'm thankful that they've put themselves in a position where this is not a bigger issue, where it's not traumatic to their family to the point where they have no idea how they're going to survive. You've given them wisdom, and God, so we thank you. But God, we lift up Diana to you right now, and we pray that she would hang up from this conversation with more hope than she did before she called. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Diana, thanks for calling. And I do this every once in a while, and I'd ask that you'd call us back. Maybe it's a month or maybe it's 2 months, and let us know how things are going, okay?
I will.
All right. Thank you, Diana. When you lose I got to give her mad props. When you lose $100,000 in income and you guys are still going to make it, that's nuts. That's great. Thank you guys so much for engaging, whether email or phone calls or social media, whatever it may be. I appreciate you so much. A reminder, visit stewardship.com today to order Financial Peace University with the Legacy Journey ebook by Dave Ramsey. It's only $99 when you use the code Chris Brown with no spaces. Folks, every day matters. Every decision matters. Every hour matters. The way we handle our relationships, our time, our talents, the resources. And we got to remember, all those things aren't ours. They're God's. So until we meet again, let's look at all those relationships. Let's look at all those resources. Let's look at all those opportunities, the leadership that we have, the sphere of influence that we're entrusted with, and let's manage all those things God's way and for God's glory. God bless you all.